You're listening to SBS News.
January 6, 2021 saw Capitol Hill overrun. The ground zero of American democracy was swept over by a sea of Trump flags as outgoing President Donald Trump refused to concede the election results of the month earlier.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
The heart of the world's most powerful democracy became the scene of unmitigated chaos. Security was completely outnumbered as Congress was in the process of certifying Joe Biden's electoral win. Republicans Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell were opposed to overturning the result, with the Senate leader making this powerful speech.
The voters, the courts, and the states have all spoken. They've all spoken. If we overrule them, it would damage our republic forever. Our democracy would enter a death spiral.
More than 600 people in over 40 states would eventually be charged for their participation in the Capitol riots. Just 2 weeks later, Joe Biden took the oath of office, taking on the unenviable task of healing a divided nation still ravaged by COVID-19.
This is America's day. This is democracy's day. Today, we celebrate the triumph not of a candidate, but of a cause. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed.
On the other side of the world, an outspoken critic of Putin's presidency was swiftly arrested upon his return to Russia after surviving an alleged poisoning. Alexei Navalny said he was happy to be home, even after he was poisoned with a Soviet-era Novichok nerve agent 5 months earlier.
Yeah. I'm
not afraid. I feel completely fine heading to border control. I'll pass through and head home because I know I am right.
But that confidence was misplaced. As he went through passport control, Mr. Navalny was promptly taken away by border guards, his requests for a lawyer ignored. In court, he was accused of breaching bail conditions in what he says was a politically motivated embezzlement charge. His defence was that he was in a Berlin hospital, recovering from the near-lethal poisoning. Mr. Navalny was sentenced to 2.5 years in a labour camp, earning a chorus of condemnation from world leaders, including White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
We reiterate our call for the Russian government to immediately, unconditionally release Mr. Navalny, as well as the hundreds of other Russian citizens wrongfully detained in recent weeks for exercising their rights.
In February, this Burmese dancer had no idea this video of her exercise routine would go viral, capturing the beginning of Myanmar's military coup. The Southeast Asian nation had endured a fraught relationship between the democratic government and the military. Phil Robertson from Human Rights Watch said the population would continue to take to the streets in their thousands.
These people are not prepared to go back under military dictatorship. They've had 10 years enjoying greater civil and political liberties than their parents ever knew. And the young generation in particular is determined that the military will not succeed in their military coup.
But the military ultimately would succeed. According to one activist group, they were responsible for over 1,000 deaths since the coup. April saw India's healthcare system plunging into crisis. At one point, the country was recording more than 300,000 new cases of COVID-19 in 24 hours. The Delta variant proved to be far deadlier and more transmissible than previous coronavirus variants. While the second wave took the country by surprise, experts said the oxygen shortage that followed should not have. The head of an intensive care unit in India, Dr. Sumit Ray, described the situation as hopeless.
It is very bad. It's beyond bad, actually. It's not a crisis, it's a devastatingly bad situation. That's how I can describe it. It's reached a point where crisis is a very mild word for it.
In the Middle East, tensions between Israelis and Palestinians boiled over, leading to some of the worst violence seen in the region in years. The outbreak of fighting began with the attempted eviction of Palestinian families in East Jerusalem and a police raid on Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque, which prompted Hamas to fire a barrage of rockets at major cities in Israel. A spokesperson for the Israeli military attempted to deflect criticism for the scores of civilian casualties which followed.
Anybody who's been to Gaza knows that it is almost impossible to surgically differentiate between terrorists and their infrastructure and civilians, which are used by the terrorists as their human shields in every aspect.
In August, the world witnessed the graphic desperation of some Afghans trying to flee their country as US forces withdrew after 20 years of occupation. Dozens of people ran onto the Kabul airport runway, trying to cling to a US Air Force plane as it took off. The sudden withdrawal was sparked by US President Joe Biden.
I stand squarely behind my decision. After 20 years, I've learned the hard way that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces. The truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated. So what's happened? Afghanistan political leaders gave up and fled the country. The Afghan military collapsed.
The result of that collapse was a return to power for the Taliban, the bitter enemies of the US and allied forces for the past two decades. Tens of thousands of Afghans desperately tried to reach the airport gates, which were guarded by allied forces as they made their withdrawal. In the final days, they were forced to plead their case from a sewage-filled canal. A brutal death at the hands of an IS suicide bombing was their final indignity. Perhaps as a precursor to what those allied countries will face as a result of the withdrawal, thousands of migrants converged on the Poland and Belarus border in November, desperate to enter the European Union. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko faced criticism. He was using the migrants as pawns in his political dispute with the bloc. Men, women and children were all met with tear gas and water cannon on the border, repelled perhaps only momentarily in their bid for a better life. Tysok Husey, SBS News.